With you tonight, I appreciate your presence so that we can study God's Word together. Now, this morning we began looking at the 23rd Psalm, and in particular we focused in on the first four verses and talked about the shepherd of Psalm 23. We noticed that shepherd was a personal shepherd, he was a providing shepherd, a piloting shepherd, and a protecting shepherd. Tonight we turn our attention now to the final two verses, verses 5 and 6, and we want to look at the servant of Psalm 23. The striking imagery that described our Lord as a shepherd now vividly depicts him as a servant, as a gracious host who makes welcome and comfortable his guest. It brought to my mind as I read it and thought about it, the imagery made me think about the wedding feast that Christ spoke about in Matthew 22. And so we have our Lord, if you will, setting the table and making sure that his guest is comfortable and taken care of. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Tonight, four things that we want to notice about the servant of Psalm 23. Number one tonight, we want to notice that servant is a capable servant. Our Lord is a capable servant. Going back to the text, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Notice the great ability of the Lord here. He prepares a table for David, but not just in any spot. He prepares it in the very presence of David's enemies. They are unable to stop this. I mean, you think about it. Would a person's enemies allow someone to make a feast for him, to honor him right in front of them? Of course not. They wouldn't allow that. They would do whatever they could to do away with that. But here we have David's enemies. They're unable to do anything about it. Why? Because it's the Lord who's doing it. Friends, our Lord is capable. These men are powerless to stop this. Satan, no matter how powerful he may seem, no matter how many march under his banner, no matter how vast his influence, he still falls light years behind the capable hands of Almighty God. In Romans chapter 8, as Paul writes to the church at Rome, beginning in verse 31, he says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" The question that Paul begins with is, it's rhetorical. If God is for us, there's no one who can stand against us. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Notice the question that Paul asked. If God was willing to give up his son, you hearing it? If God was willing to give up his son, how much more is he going to be willing to do for us? I mean, he's already done what I would consider to be the greatest sacrifice. Everything else comes in second place to that. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, was who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. This is a sermon for a different time, but I hope you realize, y'all, Jesus didn't just return to heaven and is sitting there doing nothing. He's still very active on our behalf. And here we see one of the things that he's doing currently. He's there interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Paul says we can overcome all of that. Why? Because our God is able. We sing the song sometimes, don't we? He is able, more than able. Friends, we have the strongest on our side, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Almighty, the All-Knowing, the Ever-Present, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. That's the God that we serve. He is the capable servant that we see here in Psalm 23. Number two tonight, our Lord is a charitable servant. Going back to the text, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Our Lord is generous, He's charitable. The anointing of the head was a practice in Eastern culture. It was something that was done to honor guests. And so we have our Lord here being generous and anointing the head of His guest David. Now you and I know God was not physically pouring oil on him, but it's a picture of the great blessings that God would provide. A gracious, warm, perfect host is our Lord, and He's generous in what He gives. So much so that notice what David says. He says, my cup, it overflows. Not only do I have enough, I have more than enough. I remember the story told one time, and I can't remember who it was told about. I just remember the statement that was made. It was someone who was known in the church as someone who was very giving of his means, who gave to different works and different organizations. And someone asked him once, he said, how is it possible that you're able to give away so much? And he said, well, here's the deal. God gives it to me, I give it to others, but God uses a bigger bucket. That's the picture here in Psalm 23. God's using a bigger bucket. Reminds me of what Jesus said in Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. God gives more than we deserve, both physically and spiritually. If we all sat down tonight and just took out a piece of paper, made two columns, physical, spiritual, and began to list the blessings that we have in our life, even if we went through and gathered up the list and found the one that had the least amount of things written on it, it'd still be an impressive list. Because our God gives so much. Are we truly grateful for what God gives us? Or do we take it for granted? Indeed, our Lord is a charitable servant. Number three tonight, our Lord is a caring servant. He is a caring servant. Going back to our text, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Brethren, where would we be without the mercy and the goodness of God? I mean, really think about that for a moment. Without God's goodness, without God's mercy, we'd be lost. We'd be helpless. We'd be hopeless. There would be nothing that you and I could do to change course. Thanks to God for His caring nature. He showers us with goodness. He extends to us His mercy. And notice that our God isn't just caring for us today. But as David says here, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. It's comforting to me to know that God always cares for me. The whole world could forsake me. every single person turned their back on me, and you know what? It'd be okay, because guess what? God's still there. He hasn't left me. He hasn't turned His back upon me. In 1 John 3:1, we read, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him." Notice, as John talks about the love that God has for us, he says, here's a picture of that love. He considers us as children. And I love how it's worded here. Consider the love that He's given to us, that we should be called the children of God. And so we are. That's who we are, because of God's love, because of His goodness, because of His mercy. 1 John 4:7-10, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins." The host, the servant of Psalm 23, he is capable. He's charitable, he is caring. And then finally, number four, the servant of Psalm 23 is a ceaseless servant. Going to the end of our text, "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The servant of Psalm 23 never ends. He is eternal. We serve a God that always was, that is, and that always will be. And I get that that's hard to wrap our heads around sometimes, because we live in a world that's bound by a ticking clock, right? I think the hardest part for me, I can almost wrap my hand around the part of Him always being, that eternal part. It's the other eternal part that really boggles my mind, that He's always been. There's never been a moment when there was not God. And there will never be a moment when He will not be there. God has promised this care forever for those who follow Him faithfully. Our reward of heaven is something that I think is a little beyond our comprehension. In John 14, verses 1 through 3, Jesus is speaking to His apostles. He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to Myself, that where I am, you may be also." It excites me to talk about heaven, because as great as we can imagine it being, it's going to be even greater. What a beautiful picture that David uses to close this psalm. The picture of this ceaseless servant, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." It's a beautiful psalm. It's a comforting psalm, an encouraging psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The host of Psalm 23 is capable, charitable. He's carrying His ceaseless. But the question tonight is, are you His servant? The psalm's about His service to us, but But the question that needs to be asked is, are we serving Him? Dan Winkler, in discussing the 23rd Psalm at PTP one year, he said, I like to take the first three words of the Psalm and the last three words and put them together. And I know I've told you this before, but it's still to me just as powerful. The Lord is the Lord forever. Dwelling in the house of the Lord, though, is contingent on the Lord being your shepherd. Is He your shepherd tonight? Friend, if you're not a Christian, will you take that step? Believing in Him, turning from sin, confessing Him as Lord, putting Him on in baptism. Looking out, I realize many of you have done that. Have you been unfaithful? Friend, if so, come back to the true shepherd, the true servant, so that when this life is over, you can dwell with Him forever. If you need to respond to heaven's invitation, we'd ask you to come right now as we stand and sing.